Thank you, Joe. And grace and peace to each and every one of you on this truly summery Sunday morning. It's just a bit muggy out there, and I think it may get worse, but such is the days we are living through. It is good to have you here today and for all of us to gather in the house of the Lord. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. Listen again for the word of the Lord. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood beside him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let us pray. Almighty God, your living word speaks anew. Give us ears to listen and to absorb that word. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I have two certificates I want to give away this morning. The first certificate is worth $10,500. Is there anybody here who would like a certificate for $10,500? Raise your hand, okay? Oh, several. The first hand that went up is back here, I believe. Is that you, Kate? Oh, okay. Okay, now hang on to this. It really is worth $10,500. Okay? All right. Now, the second certificate is worth $105,000. Does anybody want the second certificate? Oh, okay. I see somebody hand go up over here. All right. Okay, Vicki. It is all yours. Now, hang on to that. It really is worth $105,000. Okay? You believe me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Don't lose those. Whatever you do. Well, today in our passage from the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus accepts an invitation from a Pharisee to join him for dinner. And during the course of that dinner, Jesus tells the Pharisee, whose name is Simon, a story. He says, "Simon, there were two people in debt. One owes a sum equal to 50 days' wages. The second owes a debt equal to 500 day's wages. Jesus goes on to say that the person to whom these debts are owed, each goes to each of those persons, in other words, the person who they're in debt to, and says, well, you know, I woke up feeling really great this morning, so your debts are forgiven. Turns out it really is a great day, especially for the two people in debt. Then Jesus turns to Simon and asks, which debtor is likely to be most grateful? And Simon answers, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus says, well, you've answered rightly. And you'll have to forgive me for my lack of humility, but I think I could have come up with the correct answer to this one. How about you? Is there any rocket scientist here? Look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out this one at all, does it? Still, Jesus has a point to make. For you see, Jesus is in the midst of a circumstance during which he is breaking social conventions all over again. It's another scandalous story told this time by Luke, a man who was not an eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus, but who says that he's tried to put down an orderly account after listening to all the eyewitnesses so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you've been instructed. And Luke's account confirms that this man named Jesus really did some amazing things. Jesus speaks, and unclean spirits depart from those whom they possess. Jesus speaks, and fevers give up their hold on the sick. Jesus speaks, and a man covered by leprosy is healed. Jesus speaks, and a paralyzed man stands up and walks. Jesus speaks, and a withered hand is restored to full function. Jesus speaks, and the widow's only son who has died rises again to new life. Luke recounts all the ways in which the ministry of Jesus is different, special, remarkable. And then Luke tells us that Jesus does something even more unusual. Jesus turns to those who believe and he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus forgives sins. Now this upsets the religious leaders. This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Yet Jesus forgives sins and then he goes and eats and dines with sinners. Friends, don't you see it? This man, Jesus, is radical. And he daily places himself in situations that pay no heed to proper behavior. The scribes and the Pharisees, these men who represent all that is proper for those who worship the one true God, are indignant that Jesus does nothing to dispel the speculation that he is a rabbi and a prophet. Well, Luke's account doesn't tell us whether this Pharisee named Simon, who invites Jesus to dine with him, is one of the religious leaders who are upset with Jesus. So we can only speculate about Simon's motives. Perhaps he wants to find out for himself if all he hears about Jesus is true. Or maybe he's part of the plot to catch Jesus in a statement or an action that would permit the leaders to take steps to rid themselves of this scandalous man. What we do know from our account is that Simon pretty quickly concludes that Jesus is not worthy of being known as a prophet. And Simon's conclusion is based upon the encounter Jesus has with a woman in Simon's home. Now, who here lies down to eat their meals? Does anybody lie down? Well, you know, back in Jesus' day, most people would lie down on the floor to eat at the dinner table, which was very low to the ground. That's how they did it. They would recline at the table, ordinarily lean on their left arms as they ate with their right hand, and their feet would be pointed away from the table. Further, it was common practice in that day for less privileged people to gather around behind those who were dining. If they were fortunate, they might get some of the leftovers at the end of the meal. It was a form of charity. So it's not surprising to read that there are others beyond the invited guests in the room or the courtyard where this meal takes place. Even so, Luke's account pointedly tells us that a certain woman takes her place at the feet of Jesus, and this woman is a sinner. From his account, we can readily surmise that this woman, in fact, has a reputation. Most scholars, in fact, infer that she is a woman of the night. Luke tells us that she lets her hair down, and that just was not done. It wasn't done unless you were in the business of seducing men. And what else is this woman doing? We read that she's brought an alabaster jar of ointment, and she's using it to anoint the feet of Jesus. In fact, Luke's account paints a pretty vivid picture of what is unfolding as Jesus reclines at the table. This woman, this sinner, is at the feet of Jesus weeping, using her tears to clean the feet of Jesus, then drying his feet with the hair she's let down. Then she kisses his feet and anoints them with ointment. It's clear that this goes on for quite some time. And we have to realize that is exactly what women of the night did to advertise their availability. It is, to say the least, behavior that simply is not done in polite and proper company. And so can't you hear it as Simon mutters to himself under his breath? If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman it is who's touching him, that she's a sinner. Now, I wasn't in that room with Jesus and Simon and the woman. I read the story and I have the advantage of Luke's perspective, along with all of that of the church mothers and fathers through the centuries. And so I might miss just how radical Jesus is. You see, I know, we know, that Jesus is a prophet and more, that he is in fact the only begotten Son of the one true God. Still, I fear that I would have been in Simon's camp had I been there. You see, I'm just an Indiana farm boy who found himself at formal events later in life and had to learn what is proper. Therefore, I am cautious for fear of taking a misstep. And I've become quick, in fact, too quick, to take note of when someone violates conventions, does something that one simply ought not to do in proper company. I suspect I would have been taken aback at how readily Jesus permitted such sinful behavior to occur, that this man who does such remarkable things, such amazingly good things, is also one who does not shy away from those who engage in what is scandalous activity, even to this day. I'm in Simon's camp. Still, Jesus hears Simon muttering under his breath, and so Jesus tells a story to Simon about two individuals in debt, one for 50 days' wages, the second for 500 days' wages. Considering this, I decided to look up what the average income is for families in the Prince Edward area. In 2023, the last year for which we have complete data, the median income was $55,082. Assuming 22 working days each month, that puts the median daily income in Prince Edward County at $210. For wage earners in Prince Edward, a debt equal to 50 days pay would be $10,500, and a debt equal to 500 days pay would be worth $105,000. $10,500 and $105,000. We've already heard those numbers today, haven't we? See, who took the certificates for $10,000 and $105,000? Have you ever heard that you should read the small print? I would invite you to turn those certificates over and read the small print there. Can you read that? Can you read that? I realize it's pretty small. So just in case you're having trouble, here's what the small print says. This is an instrument of debt for the amount listed on the reverse side. The holder of this certificate promises to pay said amount to the person from whom the certificate was received. So,
Before I go any further, I want to thank each of you for accepting the obligation to pay me a total of $115,500. That will go far toward taking care of all my bucket list items in retirement. Believe me, I'm grateful. Even so, I recognize I may not have been fully forthcoming when I offered you the certificate. So, if you prefer, I'll give you the chance to rid yourself of the debt. I saw you getting ready to do this. Go ahead. Go ahead. Ricky, do you want to rip it up? Okay. Your debt is forgiven. You feel better? Feel better? I don't know about you, but when I read the story of 50 denarii or 500 denarii, I can readily miss that both levels of debt, both are significant. $10,500 may not be nearly as much as $105,000, but it's still real money. And in our story, the sinful woman is in debt to the tune of $105,000. That's the symbolic level of her spiritual shortcomings. Yet Simon the Pharisee misses the point that he too falls short, far short of God's call on his life. His debt may not be as significant, but it's a real debt, a real shortcoming nonetheless. Still, there is good news. You see, Jesus came to teach and to heal and to raise the dead to life, and we must not miss this. Jesus came to forgive. Jesus came to forgive sins. Jesus forgives spiritual shortcomings equal to 500 days' wages. And Jesus forgives the sin that we may regard as less significant. So, how are we to respond? I'm reminded of an episode from one of my favorite television series, The Big Bang Theory. Anybody else here like Big Bang? Yeah, some. If you follow the series, you know that Sheldon is a physicist with a genius-level intelligence. And he's given to looking down at all others, especially Penny, a struggling actress who's earning a living as a waitress at a cheesecake factory. In the episode I have in mind, Sheldon has reluctantly agreed to take part in an exchange of Christmas presents. And to make certain that his present is worth at least as much as the present Penny gives him, he first goes out and buys about 20 different gifts of varying value. His plan is to open Penny's present first, quickly estimate its worth, then fetch the present he's purchased that's of comparable value. Well, on Christmas morning, Penny gives Sheldon a napkin. And Sheldon's a bit nonplussed as he says, "Oh, a napkin." Then Penny tells him it's the napkin that Leonard Nimoy used when he ate at the Cheesecake Factory. Now, Leonard Nimoy, of course, played Spock on Star Trek, and there's no bigger fan of Spock than Sheldon. Sheldon, therefore, is shocked at Penny's gifts. As he puts it, Penny has given him Leonard Nimoy's DNA. Wouldn't he be able to make himself his own Leonard Nimoy? It's a gift whose value to Sheldon is far beyond anything that he has purchased for Penny. So Sheldon goes and retrieves all 20 gifts he bought and drags them out to the living room, which makes Penny incredulous. He says, "Sheldon, what are you doing?" To which Sheldon responds, I know, it's not enough." And so what does Sheldon do? This man who hates to be touched or to touch others gives Penny a gift that's over the top. Sheldon gives Penny a hug. And friends, that's exactly what happens in our story today. You see, Jesus has forgiven the sinful woman and Jesus has forgiven the Pharisee. Yet the woman recognizes that the gift Jesus has given her is over the top. She knows just how great a debt Jesus has paid on her behalf. And so her response is over the top. She's lavish in humble thankfulness. And that makes me wonder, am I still like Simon? You see, friends, I don't think I've ever done anything really bad. I'm prone to think that my sins are not such a big deal. But here's the reality. My sins are a big deal. and they likely come much closer in value to 500 days' wages than I prefer to imagine. And that broaches this vital question. Am I willing to live as one who recognizes the significance of what God through Jesus has done for me? Am I willing to live as one who recognizes the significance of what God through Jesus has done for me? Am I? Are you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our next hymn is number 347, Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive. Please stand as you are able.